But time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now.
It's not about what you've done, it's about what you do. It's all about where you go.
Welcome to Get You Fit Radio, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. And so many of you are doing such a remarkable job doing just that. I am always hearing such positive feedback from people who are following along this regimen of improving their health and wellness. In fact, it is truly something that so many people aspire to do. If you look at the overall statistics of the United States, there is truly a problem with our overall health and wellness. In fact, 75% of Americans fall into the category of being classified as overweight or obese. I can spend the entire show talking about health statistics and declining rates of health that are leading our nation into an overwhelming array of continuing issues, and these aren't going away. And to top this off, the fitness industry continues to bombard us with gyms, with memberships everywhere, with health food stores popping up at every corner, and with labels on every possible product that you see. However, the irony in all of this is, despite the fact that all of this uprise has occurred, it still tends to happen where we try to make a stance for our health. We try to better our wellness and improve our health statistics. But so often we feel ashamed to do so. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the topic of diet shaming. And it is a true topic. Now, I've been in this industry for a long time. And I have been at this health, wellness, diet extravaganza for years and years and years. And so I have many examples of this. And I've kind of buried them, swept them under the carpet. I've vented them out to my friends and family. But now as a health coach, as I help people get on track, and as people do improve their lifestyle, I'm getting this uproar of comments from people who don't know how to handle this shaming that is occurring in their lives. And it's a real problem. So I'm going to break this down for you. It's lunchtime. You are finally able to take a break. Having had no time to pack a lunch this morning, you head out, you grab a wrap, some crisps, potato chips, let's just say, and a can of diet soda. You treat yourself to a cookie because why not? You have worked hard all week and you have a long afternoon ahead of you. As you return to your desk, you get stuck into your food, and no longer have you taken even a bite, but a coworker leans over and takes a peek at you as you're eating. His eyes open up as you are taking a bite of your cookie and says, "Are you still running?" Before making this vague comment about how he's trying to cut down on his own personal sugar intake, suddenly you feel very self-conscious about what you're eating, and you wish you would have just taken your break outside. The next day, you remember to bring your own lunch and pack a salad, and at lunchtime, the same colleague asks you if you're on a diet. Now, this here is an example that many of you have probably lived. Many workers, co-workers, colleagues, family members, friends even, have a hard time escaping that one irritating person who loves to give feedback about food choices, about lunch, about snacks, about anything. But commentary on what other people are eating isn't just annoying. It could actually be very damaging. And so what I can tell you is, as I was thinking about doing this show, stories popped into my own head. I can share stories again through the depths of my brain of people making comments to me about, wow, I'm surprised you're eating that. You know, the one time I decided to have a piece of birthday cake. And you know, it's hurtful. And truly, these incidents startle people. And it's truly an introduction to something that is very, very common in workplaces. Many people are very compelled to talk about this because it is kind of on the edge of being offensive. And many people do get offended. After my very first job, after graduation, and many of you know that I was a teacher, and if you are a teacher, you know what the teacher's lounge is like. It is loaded, loaded with snacks, treats, donuts, cookies. And this is truly when I first initially got fit. And so here I was, finally breaking out into my identity as that person that you all know now, that person that is the healthy one. You know, upon making my announcement to everyone that I was pregnant, what a joyful day that was to announce to my coworkers that I was having my first baby. I actually had somebody say to me that she was happy that she wasn't going to have to look at my tiny body anymore. I spent that afternoon crying in my room upstairs. And I think about this now, and I think how many other people must get tormented like this. But on the same token, it's perfectly okay to add extra mayonnaise to your double cheeseburger if you are over 150 pounds in weight and have a laundry list of health issues. And yet nobody would ever make a comment about that. And I can tell you exactly what I've had for lunch on many of those days moving forward after I returned to work, after I have had my child. And this is not a good thing. So what brought me to do this show? I have a client who has worked very, very hard to change her lifestyle, and is not an easy thing to do. And actually, she is a teacher as well. Last week was Teacher Appreciation Week. So if you are a teacher, we do appreciate you. We love everything you've done. But from the standpoint of teachers, they got pummeled with treats and taco buses and taco bars and burrito bars. And I mean, the list was endless. And it was very difficult for them to stay on path. But on the same token, those members who tried to stay on the program did not avoid the food. They followed the realistic and sustainable lifestyle protocol that I have set out for them, and that is to still enjoy, but stay within the boundaries. But this particular person said that she went to go log her food. And if you're not familiar with food logging, that is where I ask members to calculate what they eat. There's an app and they can plug in what they've consumed. So it kind of keeps track of their calories. And this person said she was absolutely tormented because she was logging her food. And it caused her a huge setback. It caused her to feel like she was doing something wrong. And so for me, this backhanded, offhanded comment from the peanut gallery is enough to chase away the desire to do well for yourself. Anytime someone has something to say about what I'm eating, it really is a turnoff. Even if it doesn't have to do with a diet, I've always told my kids, if you don't like what I'm eating, I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to hear your moans. I don't want to hear your groans. I'm about to eat this, and I'm going to enjoy it. So shrug off your commentary. So what do you do in a case like this? You know, that's the bigger problem. From the etiquette perspective, what should you do? Well, I'm going to bring out some good old kindergarten etiquette. So anybody that's ever graduated from kindergarten probably has heard this before. Say something nice or don't say anything at all. And I'm really big on killing with kindness, and I don't believe in creating more commotion. So if somebody does make a comment about your food, whether it is, why are you eating that? Or I'm surprised you're having that cookie. Or wow, are you on a diet again? Make sure that you share your personal preference. You don't have to feel self-conscious. My experiences are not just a string of bad luck with break room busybodies. No matter what, when somebody comments about their food, there's some backlash there. Many workers have a hard time because they want to know what you're doing. They want to know exactly what's happening. But what they don't understand is we are in a culture where disordered eating is on the rise. And even if you aren't somebody that suffers from a particular eating disorder, it's going to make you feel self-conscious. It's going to make you feel like you shouldn't be eating healthy. Dieting and the workplace aren't traditionally joined in American consciousness, but often when people talk about how they encountered ideas about diet and exercise, they talk about it with their coworkers. And I'm here to tell you, and you already know this, there is an overabundance of misinformation out there when it comes to dieting. So if I could be a fly on any wall and in any lunchroom, you're going to hear an overabundance of chatter, and it is most likely going to be incorrect. You're going to hear chatter about the keto diet. You're going to hear chatter about the low sugar diet. You're going to hear chatter about the diet where you don't eat for 3 days and then you eat for 5 days. And I mean, there's so many different diets out there. There is a huge amount of money being wasted on all different types of programs. But regardless the program that you're on, it is not okay to shame someone else. The idea that if people are feeling shamed, they're taking better care of themselves. And if it is not something that you approve of, you don't have to say anything about it. Talking about their food is just not appropriate. Okay, so as I was saying, what do you do? What do you do? So the biggest piece of advice is kill with kindness. Look for opportunities for discussion versus debate. So if somebody brings up, oh, you know, what kind of diet is that? I heard that you shouldn't be including carbs in your meal. Look for a discussion, not a debate. You want to kind of turn the table and give them a fact about something that you know, to deviate them from what they're saying. So example, you're logging your food. Why are you logging your food? That are you on a diet? Just come back simply by saying you are trying to educate yourself on the values of nutrition. You are wasting your time by having an argument. So discussions are pleasant. And I will tell you that you will more than likely find a common ground with the person that you are having this discussion with. Respond in a way that your future best self will like. Or simply change the subject. Give it a quick answer and change the subject. Because when you're doing that, basically, you are again refusing to play the game. And no matter what, this is going to be hurtful. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, and I am talking about diet shaming. So getting back to turning the debate into a discussion, debate is where somebody faces off another person with an opposing view. When it comes to dieting, I'm here to tell you that you can do this all day long. I am a nutritionist. I have a lot of education, a lot of experience in my back pocket, and I could debate on this topic of nutrition with somebody else with just as much knowledge and just as much experience, and neither of us is going to be right or wrong. So a debate is a waste of time, and it's a waste of energy. So a discussion is going to be something that is actually going to be worth your while. It's going to engage other members in your conversation, and it's going to be more positive. Contrary, a debate is essentially going to be an argument, and you are definitely going to leave that table upset with negative connotations and not in a good place. Discussions take that energy and make it positive. By the end of the long week, no matter what, you are tired. You just want to eat your cookie. And so bring that up. You don't have to justify to anybody, but what you do need to do is find a common ground. And what that means is find a healthy relationship. Find something that is helpful, that might actually be good for the both of you. Finding a simple ground, thanking them for being caring about acknowledging the fact that you are being healthy is a common ground. Turn it around and ask them if they've ever been on a diet and see what their response is. Respond in the way that you would like to see your future self respond in. And I love that so much because you're leaving that being the better person. The other point is changing the subject. The mindful eating piece is huge. Do you really want to eat that? I know that you're trying to be mindful, but I see that this is your third cookie. So how do you respond to that? So my answer to that would be, it's really nice that you've noticed that I am having a third cookie, but actually I worked really hard this week and I planned to have this as my third cookie splurge. You don't have to take it internally because that implies that you're being hurt. And this relationship with food is between you and your regimen. Now, keep in mind, as I'm saying this, I realize that if you are eating that third cookie, you're more than likely not following the program. And that's fine. That is not the topic here. But you shouldn't be shamed and you shouldn't be the doormat because this is where the boundaries are not being followed. You have to enforce your boundaries. You are worth standing up for yourself. And you are worth taking that break when you don't feel like engaging in this conversation. Recognizing these patterns as well. So this is a big one. And I hear this all the time with family members, especially around the holidays. It's interesting to me that the average person does not hear somebody express any comments about their weight loss until they have reached approximately 25 pounds of weight loss. I don't have any solid evidence to why it's 25. Interestingly, it doesn't matter the size of the person. I've had people tell me this at 200 pounds. I've had people tell me this at 150 pounds. I've had people tell me this at 300 pounds. There's something about that 25-pound mark. And so I've put a lot of thinking into this, and I believe that most people don't want to comment and express the recognition of somebody losing weight at 5 or 10 pounds because they're not quite sure if that person has lost weight. So they don't want to say it and, you know, offend them if they haven't really lost weight. Secondly, they don't want to insinuate that that person needed to lose weight or imply that they looked heavier before, when it's still very vague. And then third, and I really think that this is a big one, it usually takes about that much of a loss between in most people before they start changing their clothes. Most people will continue to wear their clothes until they've lost that much weight. And therefore, you know, they're showing up with bigger, baggier clothes. It's not as noticeable. Once they hit that certain marker, they might go out and buy clothes that are a little bit more fitted. Therefore, the comments start showing up. So my point is this. We go all this time, nobody's saying anything about weight loss. Then suddenly, regardless of when it occurs, you go from no comments to everybody commenting. And then before you know it, you go from comments of, wow, you look like you've lost weight, to how much longer are you going to do this? Is it okay with your doctor? Does your doctor realize that you're working out every day? Are you sure you're not getting overly obsessed with, you know, this whole food, nutrition, eating thing? And, it, you know, that part really stuns me because, again, let's go back to the start of the show. 75% of Americans are obese. 600,000 Americans died of a fatal heart condition last year, just last year in the United States. You know, prescriptions are being written left and right for medications that are all based on health risk conditions that can absolutely be helped if we implemented better health practices that all boil down to food, nutrition, exercise, rest, sleep. All of these practices could change the destiny of our health and wellness, extend our lifelines, show our children better health practices that will change their and extend their lifelines. But yet, we go from no comments to, wow, you look good, to, are you sure you should be doing this? Are you sure, is it okay that does your doctor know that you're working out this much? And, you know, it baffles me because I have heard it. I actually had somebody ask me once, I've had a couple people ask me once, if my doctor is aware of my exercising. And my answer is my doctor is shocked that somebody at my age could have an A1C this low and energy at the level that I have. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I'll be honest, it does take me back because when somebody makes a comment to me like that, it shuns me to the point where I think, oh gosh, yeah, you know, am I doing something wrong? And I shouldn't feel that way, and neither should you. So I encourage you, the next time you are feeling that way, stop and think, what is the healthier choice? What would you rather see your kids doing? Would you rather see your kids enjoying a salad, taking a minute to look up and see what the nutritional information is of the food? And then enjoying a cookie because they're able to, because they implemented a workout regimen and they know that they are able to enjoy one or two or three cookies because of the way that they have set up their nutritional routine. Or would you rather see somebody ordering a triple cheeseburger with extra bacon and a super extra large fry and washing it down with a milkshake? Because our society is okay with the latter, and that is not okay. We have to have those boundaries. And so when we start making comments to others about food, be cautious yourself, because it's easy to fall into. Our society makes it very easy. When you are used to taking the comments from other people, it becomes very, very, very simple to make them yourself. We don't bat an eye to ask somebody what kind of diet they're on. We don't bat an eye to ask somebody how many calories a day that they're taking in. You know, this is all information that is your own information. Your appearance, your food comments could all be deep-rooted. Diet is very, very mental, and food in the big picture is part of health. And we should all have this body awareness in choosing what we eat based on our likes, our resources, our values, and our preferences. So health is wealth. So hopefully this will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Excuses now, I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running.